WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. Recovery efforts continuing near Reagan National Airport after the mid-air collision last night between an American Eagle passenger jet and an Army Black Hawk helicopter. 64 passengers and crew members, along with three Army soldiers, died. President Trump, earlier at a briefing, called it a dark moment for the nation, and he vowed a full investigation.
President Trump said his administration doesn't know what led to the crash between the American Airlines jet and the Army helicopter, but said they have, quote, some very strong opinions. He later suggested diversity efforts in hiring at the Federal Aviation Administration has made air travel less safe. Asked for evidence to support those claims, the president said,
"It just could have been."
Pushed on how he can conclude at this point that diversity had something to do with the crash, the president said,
"Because I have common sense."
Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
Democratic Senate leader Chuck Schumer responding, criticizing the president for, quote, idle speculation as bodies are still being recovered. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. The latest in the federal funding freeze saga, Democratic lawmakers and nonprofits spoke out the loudest after the Trump administration sent a memo instructing federal agencies to pause payments on grants and loans. More than 20 states filed a lawsuit, and Wisconsin was one of them. The pause on payments would impact all kinds of agencies and programs, anything from law enforcement to Head Start. Yesterday, the White House confirmed to outlets that it was formally rescinding that memo. Yet afterward, reports said the administration still intended to carry out the funding freeze. Governments and agencies have had whiplash these last 2 days trying to figure out what comes next. Governor Tony Evers called it, quote, a disaster from the get-go, end quote. Meanwhile, two other big priorities for the Trump administration, immigration and tariffs. New data from the conservative-leaning Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce shows how business leaders feel about those issues. Here's Lisa Hale.
86% of Wisconsin business leaders support President Donald Trump's plan to impose tariffs on goods imported from China. As for the tariffs on imports from Canada and Mexico, only 44% of those surveyed support the 25% tariffs. And when asked how increasing tariffs would impact their businesses, 50% said it would have a negative effect. 26% said it would be positive, while 24% said it would have no impact. This same survey from WMC shows Wisconsin business leaders want to see immigration reform, with 89% saying the plan should start with securing the U.S. southern border. The respondents didn't want a complete stoppage of immigration. They overwhelmingly supported updating the nation's guest worker program to include increasing the number of visas for specialized workers and adding new visa options for high-demand workers to address Wisconsin's labor shortage.
That's Lisa Hale, and I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX News.
The Badgers fall to the Terrapins.
Hi,
I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A Big Ten matchup in men's basketball ending up in a loss for Wisconsin as the Badgers fall 76-68 to Maryland. Head coach Greg Gard on what happened.
You know, against a really good team on the road, you obviously have to take care of the ball, which I thought we did a much better job the second half. And then you've got to be able to make some plays and make shots. You know, credit to Maryland in terms of they made things more difficult for us.
The Marquette Golden Eagles are the ninth-ranked team in the nation. They're getting ready to host number 25th-ranked UConn Saturday night at 7 o'clock. Head coach Shaka Smart on what he looks for in a recruit.
We value three things: relationships. Number two, we value growth. We get these guys during a very formative time of their life. They're between 18 and 22 years old. If you're not growing, there's a problem. And our third core value, very simple: victory. We're here to win. So absolutely, we want people that value victory.
That's Marquette Shaka Smart. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
An extremely warm winter day today. Soaking up the sunshine and feeling like spring, record highs will be broken. Set back in 1974 of 47 degrees, we're going to surpass that, soaring to the mid-50s. Spotty sprinkles move in late tonight and linger through early tomorrow morning. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau, currently 53 degrees.
Blind Shot Social Club, a perfect blend of cool, casual dining, indoor golf with space for events, craft cocktails, and non-alcoholic drinks too. A hidden gem on Madison's East Side. Blind Shot Social Club, open to everyone. BlindShotSocialClub.com.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a TGIF edition of the show. Mr. Zimmer will have a board game of the week and review the day's headlines. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
Listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. We're John and Gordy. We do a morning show at WMDX in Madison, the capital city of Wisconsin. We're filling in today. Maggie will be back again tomorrow.
Right. Good to be here.
She had to get some groceries this afternoon. I guess
groceries.
There was a sale and she didn't want to miss it. So.
An ill-timed grocery run.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm thinking.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I didn't hear that.
You know, when we got the call to come in.
Yeah.
And I'm driving in and I'm sweating. I'm thinking, I got full heat on, max heat on driving in. It is so warm today. It's ridiculous.
It is. It's in the 50s. Yeah. We're not used to it being this warm in the studio either. I mean, you know.
I think it's a good idea. Let's strip down.
We're going to do a topless today?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, people will be watching on Facebook. And they can tune in. Yeah, it's considerably warmer here. Well, of course, Todd heats everything up.
Yeah, I know.
When he's in here.
He
was talking some smack before we came in here.
And he was, you know.
We wanted to bust into the studio and, you know, tell him what for, but the door was locked.
So. Was that?
That's fine.
I thought we were going to come in and I thought maybe you changed our mind for us, but that's fine.
No, but anyway, Maggie will be back tomorrow. If you want to chime in, we've got our Civic Media phone number here, 855-75-CIVIC. 855-75-CIVIC, or you can text us. Mark is already on the phone. Look at this, right out of the gate.
Mark is giving us a call.
Seems like we just talked to him a few hours ago.
Yeah, it seems like that, yeah.
When we were on early this morning. Good morning, Mark, or good afternoon, I guess I should say.
That's right.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Good afternoon.
All right.
Doing okay. Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm pretty steamed right now. But I see Ron Johnson has embarrassed himself and the state of Wisconsin because he's blaming the Biden administration for... You know, after talking to Maria Bartiromo, he's already blaming the Biden administration for the tragic aircraft collision.
Yeah, right. What is he pushing? What is he saying so far?
He is just blaming the Biden administration. He doesn't know. Apparently he talked to some expert that said, well, you know, FAA has been broken for years and years, and it's all the Biden administration's fault pushing the Trump line. The man is just an embarrassment. I mean, I called his office already. I'm struggling to remain FCC compliant here because I'm just so... The man is just such an embarrassment to the people of the state of Wisconsin. I mean, it's just tragic. Here they're politicizing this tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows what exactly happened. It is just he's just an embarrassment. I mean, the the man should just go to Florida and stay there. You know, Wisconsin doesn't need that stench landing anymore.
Well, you know, for one thing, the FAA commissioner quit right as Trump became president, Inauguration Day, and then Trump came in and they fired 100 FAA officials.
Mm.
And they need air traffic controllers desperately there. They haven't done anything. They put government on hold. And they're complaining and blaming DEI and the Biden administration. Amazing, amazing stuff. And so far, the mega contingent out there believes everything they say. Everything.
Of course.
I'm from Milwaukee. I grew up there for 30 years, my first 30 years. And I have a friend there, my mega friend in Milwaukee. And he's called me at least 3 times today. He called me last night. And there is not one hint of rage in his voice about what the Trump administration is doing so far. The failures, perhaps, how they have, hurt a lot of people holding up Medicaid. It was them that did it. it wasn't an accident. The site didn't suddenly go down when they froze all funding. Gee, what a coincidence that happens to be. But they expect us to believe it. The other half of this country.
Right.
The MAGAs may believe it, but we certainly aren't accepting that as an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Mark,
thank you for that call.
Yeah.
Just getting going here.
Thanks for letting me get this off my chest.
You're good now? You all warmed up and ready to go?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm ready for a beer.
We got another call here. Karina is on the line. You can call us again, 855-75-CIVIC. Karina, go ahead with your question or comment.
Oh, it's actually Cindy.
Okay, Cindy.
Oh, Cindy, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
All right.
That's all right.
That's fine.
I just want to say that, Pinocchio is doing the same thing that Johnson is, that, DEI is what's killing people and, on and on. But we better get used to it, because for the next 4 years, Pinocchio is going to blame Obama, Biden, DEI, and immigrants. That's all we're going to hear for the next 4 years is it's their fault, it's their fault, it's their fault.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Get used to it, right?
We're going to have to, because can't come up with anything else.
We can't get used to it. We always have to call this stuff out. Really have to say something. I've got the story right here where he's blaming DEI. This is an amazing thing. He said Trump lashed out at a longstanding Federal Aviation Administration policy prioritizing diversity in hiring staff. Wow, that's what a horrible thing to do. And this is a quote. They put a big push to put diversity into the FAA's program. Brilliant people have to be in those positions, and those lives are actually shortened, very substantially shortened, because of the stress where you have many, many planes coming into one target.
That's what President Trump said before the press this afternoon, a couple hours ago.
I mean, talk about, describing it in the most simpleton way. And then he said, many planes coming into one target, and you need a very special talent and a very special genius to be able to do it. I hope they pay these geniuses a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Mary's.
Yes, Mary from Mount Horeb is on with John and Gordy, in for Maggie Dawn this afternoon. Mary, go ahead. What do you got for us?
Hey, good afternoon. A couple things. I was a little disheartened during Todd Albo's show, the ABC News reporter at the half hour, how they sanewashed what Trump did. And I'm sure it'll play. It's the recording, it's the every half hour thing. So if people keep an ear for that. But I just wanted to say, especially after this, I just happened to turn on the news within the hour, because it's the podcast in the morning, and I turned you guys on. Of all this, and it just took me down. And I am hearing chatter through different sources online that someone is trying to organize a 50-state protest. And I don't know how accurate this is, but I'm just putting this out there. If anybody else has any more information, just to call in for next Wednesday, February 5th. And it's supposed to be everyone show up at their state capitals. Mm-hmm. So it's a 50-state. Attack versus, so that we show up in numbers kind of thing. And I've tried to contact the organizer. I haven't heard back from them. I called Mark Fulcan's office. You know, I just gave them the information.
Yeah.
I don't know how legit this is, but if it is legit, I just wanted to get the word out.
All right.
Because that gave me hope. I was, I've been down for like 2 weeks now. I don't know why. But
Well, we'll try to help you out on this. Yeah. Well, keep us updated on that if you can. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Good job, guys. Thanks for filling in for maybe.
I appreciate it.
Should mention a little bit later on, about 20 minutes, we'll have Dan Schaefer on, Civic Media's political consultant, or political editor, I should say, recombobulation area.
Yeah.
And also in our next hour, we'll have Nick Ramos on.
From the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
Yeah, he's going to talk about Black History Month going away.
I'm sure that he'll be in a rage over this. It'll be interesting to hear him.
Right.
So let's go to John. Is John on the line yet?
We lost John.
Oh, we did.
Right. John, you can call back now if you want.
Big reflection off the screen. I really can't see that part of the the monitor up there.
Would you like some help
with
that?
Could you change that for me?
Yeah, sure. Let me just take care of that when I get some time.
Yeah, sure you will. Don't give me that John and Gordy signal.
Okay. You don't want that.
Yeah, you don't want that.
No.
All right. Well, let's get to some of the reactions here. Okay. Today, I was preparing this for tomorrow morning. India today, do you have this cut already, like 167?
Okay.
Not yet?
Let's get it.
Okay, anyway, India today. I saw a broadcast, a little clip of a broadcast from them. They seem to have latched on to the real reason why we should be questioning why this accident, this airplane helicopter accident, happened in the first place.
Okay.
We have it all set and ready to go? Not yet.
Give me 2 seconds.
He's right. He's fast.
He's all over it.
He does it. And this is, I think, what the press should have been saying. I think somebody asked Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy this question, but he was walking away, and he didn't answer it. But anyway, the anchor on this broadcast mentioned this. Let's listen to it.
It's now being linked to the fact that Donald Trump had frozen the hiring of critical air traffic controllers days before the incident. Donald Trump also has since reacted, asking questions on why this could have not been averted.
Yes.
Mm.
Okay. Well, you know, getting rid of the commission and not the commissioner, and then, of course, firing all these people may have had something to do with it, right? I mean,
possibly.
It lowers morale. We don't have the people that we need.
Mm.
And think of this. It might have taken a long time for these guys to even come up with a new commissioner. There is an acting one right now. But what about the air traffic controllers? They're short air traffic controllers.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very stressful job. I get that. It shortens their lives, as Trump had said. My God, we're dealing with a child.
I happen to know an air traffic controller that works in the Air Force.
Oh, you do?
He's been doing this for a number of years, maybe 15 years or so.
He looks 100, right?
Well, he can get very stressful, but you know, they go through unbelievable training and updates, and you know, I mean, it's not an easy job to get in the first place.
Right.
And there is a shortage, and it is very stressful at times. And, of course, Reagan National Airport, one of the busiest airports, especially that runway 1. I think they were coming in on a different runway. But regardless, it's a super busy airport.
Well, this is a very racist attitude to take that Trump has in regards to all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Because he thinks that maybe other people of race and color somehow can't handle jobs like this.
This is the Maggie Dawn Show. John and Gordy filling in this afternoon. We will be back with you in just a moment. Give us a call, 855-75-CIVIC.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Last April, federal cybersecurity agency CISA issued warnings to election officials on how to combat a Russian online scheme to mislead American voters in the 2024 election. CISA is now under attack by its own administration. The Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency Act was signed by President Donald Trump in 2018, with part of its mission to protect election systems. It played a vital role in hardening state and local computer systems prior to the 2024 election, supporting state election officials, and monitoring hacking and disinformation campaigns perpetrated by Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea. After the 2020 election, it refuted Trump's false claims that the 2020 election was manipulated. Trump fired its director, and CISA was targeted by Project 2025 for a dramatic overhaul, with some conservatives calling for the agency's elimination. Just before inauguration, President Biden issued an executive order requiring new CISA cybersecurity standards be implemented, but Trump immediately revoked it January 20th. CISA's highly qualified director, Jen Easterly, resigned on Inauguration Day. New Secretary of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, said in her confirmation hearing, CISA had strayed from its mission by monitoring disinformation. As governor of South Dakota, she refused federal funding to harden cyber systems, calling it wasteful spending. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
The John and Gordy Show.
We're talking with Dr. Tim Slecker.
You know, we've been on AI for a long time.
What can you now do with data? You know, ask AI, say, based on what we know about Gordy, and based on what we know about the job market, what should Gordy do for the rest of his life?
Send him to broadcast school. He's worthless.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies. Tell me lies.
You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show, John and Gordy. We do a morning show at WMDX in Madison, and we're filling in today. Maggie will be back again tomorrow.
And we're getting some calls here. Hang on the line here just a moment. The number to call is 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. And, you know, John, ever since Donald Trump took the oath of office, it's just been a fire hose of activity with the presidential orders being signed and the reaction to all of those things. And now we have this really a national tragedy with this crash at the Reagan International Airport.
That's right.
From late last night. And a lot of commentary coming from President Trump earlier today about this.
Well, you know, well, the sad part of it is that now that he's president, he can blame anybody he wants and get away with it instead of taking responsibility for everything that's happening. I mean, they did have a hiring freeze on in the FAA. And I'm just thinking, why blame other people? Why blame DEI, so on and so forth? I got a whole bunch of excuses. These are journalists that post a lot of stuff, and they hit it, nailed it, before Trump came out with a DEI accusation.
Right.
So we'll get to those in just a moment. Let's take some calls right here. We've got Joe on the line. Joe, it's good to hear from you.
Good afternoon.
Well, I just... Yeah, some various points to add to the discussion. First off, the wizard from Wisconsin, Sean Duffy, who is now our Secretary of Transportation, had a wonderful quote about this. So hang on. This is the new Secretary of Transportation. Quote, obviously, it's not standard to have aircraft collide. I want to be clear on that.
Yeah.
Didn't really say that.
Great quote.
We're in good hands.
Makes us proud in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Oh, God, what a gem. And I think the biggest thing to understand is they don't know what happened. So for him to get out there and say, oh, it was the air traffic controllers, who on God's earth knows? You have to go through the NTSB for an investigation. And in a complicated situation like this, it could be all sorts of things. It could be engine malfunction. It could be problems with people not being trained properly, military chopper. Who knows? And that's why you have entities such as the NTSB to look into these things. And it'll be at least a year or so before they finish doing their work. And in the meantime, you know, Mr. Big Mouth can be yakking all he wants, but he doesn't have a clue. He doesn't have a clue, yet he stands up there and yammers. I think it's really important for the Dems to respond, as you were talking about, in terms of the timeline of what's happened. It's basically January 20th, okay, first day in, the FAA director was fired. Now, he left, but it was under pressure from Musk saying, you got to go.
Right.
January 21, air traffic controller hiring is frozen. January 22. Mm-hmm. Aviation Safety Advisory Committee is disbanded. And January 28, they offer the buyout retirement demand sent out to existing employees. And then the next day, we have this mid-air collision. So, you know, nice try trying to put it on Obama. I think there are a few things that within the last week or so that should be, if we're going to blame anything, let's go for that. But obviously what we should all do is wait till the NTSB gets done and indicates what's going on. And in the meantime, we got Sean Duffy offering that clear-cut analysis. It's not standard to have crashes like this. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for that. That's a great rundown of everything that has taken place so far. I fear that this might be the first disaster under this administration that seems to have put government on hold. I mean, this opens everything up.
Yeah, it seems to.
Let's go back to the phone with Phil this time. Phil?
Calling from Minneapolis. Go ahead, Phil, with your comment.
Hi. There's something that I've only heard from one source, and it's a historical information. The Democrats have tried for several years to try to put up increased funding for the Federal Aviation Administration for more air traffic controllers and also to update all their equipment, which is very antiquated.
That's true.
If they required a private company to not upgrade their equipment, they'd all be driving 1950s vintage vehicles.
Right, exactly.
The equipment they have is so out of date, and they are so understaffed. And every time the Democrats put this proposal up, it does not get any Republican votes.
Yeah.
So if the Republicans think that they can blame any other concept other than just not agreeing to put up money to hire more air traffic controllers, to buy updated equipment, which is not cheap, and they need a lot of it.
Well,
they won't do it because, you know.
There's a reason why the Republicans won't pay for any of this stuff. They're saving the money up for a tax cut. That's why they don't want to spend any of this money. We have so many parts of the government that need updating. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They have to make sure that their campaign contributors get plenty of tax breaks, so that some of that can trickle down to their campaign funds.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Phil, thanks for that call.
Thanks.
We got to move along here. I think we can squeeze one more call in from Dick, calling from Madison. Dick, go ahead with your question or comments. What do you got?
Wasn't it reminiscent of the COVID-19 things that he used to put on? You know, the Democrats got to get somebody the answers back in real time. Mm-hmm. Besides Schumer with his glasses down on his nose, he's like the most boring teacher you had in high school.
Yesterday,
Malcolm Nance was talking about a Stephanie Miller show. I think it ought to be him. He thinks it should be Harris, but I don't think she's up to it right now. But one last thing, I thought Jimmy the Greek was dead. He must be writing some of this stuff for Trump. He's got to be.
Boy, well, Jimmy the Greek.
That's a name. Yeah.
I mean, you have to be old to reference that. But how much more racist can you get than some of the stuff he said?
Well, Dick, I have to agree with you on Chuck Schumer, probably one of the most boring speakers I've ever seen in my entire life.
In history.
He drives me crazy because he reads everything he says off a piece of paper with his glasses slit down on his nose. I can't stand that. Everybody else just speaks.
No.
You know, they speak off the top of their head. They make sense. They complete sentences.
I'd rather paint a wall and watch it dry than listen to him.
I agree with you.
Right, Dick.
We're on the same page, Dick. Thank you.
Thanks for that comment. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll be welcoming in Dan Schaefer, our political editor from Civic Media, going to talk about the Wisconsin State Supreme Court race coming up. And a little bit later on, Nick Ramos from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign joining us.
Absolutely.
It's John Peterson and Gordy Young filling in for Maggie Dawn on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Even if agriculture's not involved in actions taken by the Trump administration, it can get involved. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Thursday. Nick Paulson's a professor of ag economics at the University of Illinois. In 2019, he spent time as a senior economist on the Council of Economic Advisors to the President. And of course, that was the first Trump administration. Paulson says that even if agriculture is not involved in policy developments, it can become a target.
We do rely so heavily for a lot of our major ag commodities on export markets, which unfortunately makes them a prime target for some of that retaliatory action. When we put in place tariffs on other countries, you know, ag is an easy target for them to put tariffs on our exports to them. And so even if agriculture is not part of the broader policy objectives of that trade policy, it unfortunately a lot of times feels the brunt of some of the negative consequences.
That's Nick Paulson. He's an ag economist from the University of Illinois and a previous member on the Council of Economic Advisors to the White House. He was a guest speaker during the 2025 UW Ag Outlook Forum in Madison.
Join the Midwest Farm Report team along with Wisconsin soybean and corn growers at the 2025 Corn Soy Expo on February 6th and 7th at the Kalahari Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. Learn from industry experts on disease updates, cover crops, DOT standards, weather patterns, and more. Comedian Greg Warren will bring humor to the closing of the event. Connect with fellow farmers and share ideas among the breakout session, and don't miss the popular beer and bowl session. For more information or to make plans to attend, visit cornsoyexpo.org.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
The end of harvest, snow-covered fields, and an early morning sunrise. Winter is a good time to evaluate your livestock's health. BioVet loves seeing healthy animals contribute to your farm's profitability. The knowledge and support from our team is here to help you make the difference in the health and productivity on your farm. Help your livestock stay healthy and call 1-800-BioVet1 or visit bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
Staff and members of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation have returned from their 106th annual convention of the American Farm Bureau Federation in San Antonio with a few awards. Wisconsin was recognized with the New Horizon Award that recognizes the most innovative new state Farm Bureau programs. Wisconsin was recognized for Gather Wisconsin, which is a series of resources that are designed to connect consumers with the farmers that grow and raise the food their family enjoys. Also, Brad Olson, president of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation, has been elected to a one-year term on the American Farm Bureau Federation's annual board of directors. Find more news like that at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm PM Yonke.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
An extremely warm winter day today. Soaking up the sunshine and feeling like spring, record highs will be broken. Set back in 1974 of 47 degrees, we're going to surpass that, soaring to the mid-50s. Spotty sprinkles move in late tonight and linger through early tomorrow morning. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau, currently 53 degrees.
Still putting off that deep clean? Let HS Pristine Clean take it off your to-do list. With over 20 years of meticulous cleaning experience, they make your home sparkle without the hassle. Call 920-932-0000 today. Why wait?
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6th rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays at 11 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, it's going to be a dumpster fire Friday.
And we'll laugh at all the stories about how the country is being torn apart.
Bring the marshmallows.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. John and Gordy filling in today. And she'll be back again tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Phone lines are open, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Dan Schaefer joins us now. He's our political editor for Civic Media. Dan, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show this afternoon. Good to have you with us.
Good to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Now, you've got something to turn everybody on to. It's a poll, an inside poll by Republicans, right?
Yeah, so we are now just over 60 days away from the Wisconsin Supreme Court election as part of the spring election cycle. As if you know, were you ready to get back into campaign mode here in Wisconsin?
Absolutely.
Is that what everybody was waiting for right now? We had about a 2 month break from the campaign cycle, something like that. Now we're ready to get back at it here.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we're tired of talking about the administration. So I think diverting our attention to the election. Why not?
Right. I mean, the election is going to be one of the first really significant state level tests in, kind of this second Trump era now. And obviously with Wisconsin being a critical swing state and all of that, it's going to be really interesting to see, how people respond to, what's happening in the administration, how that impacts things at the state level. And so there was a poll today, WisPolitics reported on this, that a conservative group, to be clear, the Institute for Reforming Government, they released a poll today that found that Brad Schimmel, the right-wing candidate, has a slight edge over liberal candidate Susan Crawford among registered voters. Now, again, I will caution that this is a poll from a conservative group. They have been in the news in the past for, there were some public records released that showed that that people had discussed with them about, kind of putting out certain polls to benefit conservatives. And I looked through some of the questions here.
Yeah.
They are a little bit leading in a number of them.
Yeah.
But it also did show that in the same poll that showed Brad Schimmel with a lead here, it also showed strong approval ratings for Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call, significant favorability numbers for both of them. So I think that is an interesting, kind of component of this that we're taking a look at here as well. But the survey did show that Brad Schimmel is the lead in the lead in this poll. So, again, all caveats, are factors here. But I think it is, interesting to see that this is going to be a little bit of a different race than what we saw 2 years ago when it was an open seat and former Justice Daniel Kelly was running against Janet Protasiewicz. Now, this year, a little bit different. No primary for the candidates here because there are only the two candidates running. So they're getting off to the races with
fast
the general
start.
Election ads. We're seeing both candidates get up on TV. So it's going to be interesting to see how this shakes out.
Dan, what are the issues that each candidate is focusing in on at this point?
I think it is, not too dissimilar from what we saw, a couple of years ago when the liberal candidate is going to focus on things like reproductive rights is going to be a big one. Just kind of having a pro-democracy majority is kind of the way that Ben Wickler, the chair of the Wisconsin Democrats, has characterized the now liberal majority on the court. And Brad Schimmel has had to spend a lot of time over the past couple of weeks talking about comments he made about some of the January 6th rioters that he essentially was siding with in comments made on a conservative talk radio program not too long ago.
Do you have that ready? Sam, do you have that cut? Brad Schimmel's cut?
Mm-hmm.
We can play that for everybody right here and check it out. And I think we've got it almost ready.
Hang on. We're queuing it up.
I call him Bumbling Brad, at least, when he was at AG in the state. And I'm surprised that a lot of people don't have a memory for what happened under his watch in this state. It was tragic. Brad is known for saying that the state did not have any control over its drinking water supply. For some reason, we don't control our own state. The government can't say and stop people from draining our supplies of water. Very unusual. I think that was reversed, though. Yes, go ahead. Let's listen to Brad.
Okay.
If you look at the history of the world, if the history of the world is as wide as I can spread my arms, that's it, all of it. The part that is freedom is barely a gap. It's barely a spark plug gap between my fingers, right? And almost all of that history of freedom in this world has been us, what we've done in America. There's other places that have had some degrees of freedom, but nothing like here. If we let this go, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? To get it back, there has to be another bloody revolution.
Wow.
Because the socialists won't give it up. No. They won't walk away. Mm-hmm. And why on earth would these people be favoring socialists? Why? They know it won't work. We know the answer. The money and the power, right? Mm-hmm. And because with socialism, there's a handful of people who have all the money and all the power and everybody else that's screwed.
Mm-hmm.
These people, the Obamas, they all know which side of that they're on. They know.
This is a billionaire administration that was just elected into office, and he's talking about money being the problem on the Democratic side of the aisle. Dan?
Well, he's saying a lot of things that are pretty concerning.
He really is saying a lot of things.
You know, and I think if you give the context of, you know, the fact that he has been on the airwaves defending the January 6th rioters,
yes,
and he's also calling for violent revolution, in these comments that were picked up from a Republican Party meet and greet in Adams County not too long ago, it's pretty concerning that, you know, and I think when you think ahead to, or you think back to what happened 4 years ago when the Wisconsin Supreme Court was the closest state court in the nation to overturning the 2020 election results. And I think if you want your vote to count in this election, pretty basic concept, right? If you want your vote to count in the state of Wisconsin, I think it is pretty concerning to see, you know, the former attorney general and the candidate for this this seat on the state's highest court to be talking about violent revolution and to be defending the January 6th rioters.
And insinuating, of course, that their party, the Conservative Party, is going to save America. And when you think of that meaning, what stands behind that is that he can't be an impartial justice. We're trying to get somebody on the bench who is impartial, and this obviously, you know, flips that on its head.
Yeah, he has not been, you know, there's been other campaigns in the past where conservative justices have tried to say that, you know, that where they don't want to put their thumb on the scale,
right,
or whatever it might be. Schimmel is not running that kind of campaign this time. It's clearly a very partisan campaign, and it seems to be really leaning into the, you know, just the Donald Trump victory last year, where I think the strategy from the Schimmel campaign seems to be that if we get the Trump voters who won him the election last fall to come out for the April election, then they'll win. So it's really a base motivating type of play, where I think an election in the spring election cycle is a little bit different. You know, the electorate for a spring election is a little bit different than what you might see in the fall presidential race. And so I think that is that's going to be an important piece for, you know, the Schimmel campaign to navigate, and for those of us who are, you know, kind of observing the campaign here to understand where the priorities are being placed throughout this.
Right.
Talking with Dan Schaefer, political editor for Civic Media. Dan, let's turn to Ben Wickler's run to head up the Democratic campaign for the next few years. They're going to pick somebody this Saturday. Is that right?
This Saturday, the DNC chair vote will be held. So it's, this, I guess, kind of like abbreviated campaign of sorts between a number of different voices who have been, you know, jumping into the mix here. But I think there was one, you know, pretty significant endorsement that came for Mr. Ben Wickler last night. Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi threw her weight behind Ben Wickler in this race. So I think that, you know, people are really characterizing this as the top two candidates for this role being Ben Wickler in Wisconsin and Ken Martin from Minnesota. And I think Martin was seen as much more of like he had the inside track on all of this at the outset, given that he was, you know, a member of the DNC. And I think he has been, from what I understand, has been lining up this run for a number of years. And, you know, given the results in November, I think that really led to Ben Wickler, you know, jumping into this race, getting a lot of support. And, you know, I saw one, you know, I don't know how much stock to put into some of these goofy betting markets that pop up online right. now, yeah. but there was like a betting market for the DNC chair that I saw, and it really, you know, had Martin in the lead until last night when Pelosi, you know, Pelosi spoke, and that really flipped things. And wow. now people seem okay. to think that Wickler might be the favorite in this race. And, you know, the queen has spoken kind of type of yeah. vibe around the Pelosi endorsement.
Well, there's not a lot of people that are in favor of Pelosi at this point. You know, it might be, you know, the old is still influencing the new and the young. And I think that's one thing that happened during the election is that the party itself ignored youth. And they should have gone to the base a little bit more than they did. And they should have heard the cries and the protests about Gaza and done something more toward that. That would have secured the base. And I think that's what we're going for this time. And I think that's why Schimmel is obviously going very conservative, appealing strictly to the base to see how that works. Maybe it'll work for him. At least in that poll, it seems to be working fine.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that is a good, interesting question about, like, Pelosi. So Pelosi and Schumer have now both endorsed Ben Wickler
right.
in this. And so, you know, when I was on one of our other programs across the Civic Media Network, I was talking about, is that a good thing, you know, to get the
yeah.
to get the establishment support
I know,
at this point?
I'm not quite sure that works.
I do think, you know, Pelosi in particular, like, the fact that she was so emphatic about the disastrous debate from yeah. Joe Biden yeah. moving on to a different candidate. I think that really was the only reason that Democrats had a chance in the presidential election was moving on from Biden. And I think that switch not only gave them a fighting chance, obviously didn't ultimately work in the end, but it probably saved, you know, maybe a half a dozen Senate seats from going the other direction and dozens of House seats, I think, too, because I think we were looking at just a real down ballot disaster for Democrats if they had not moved from Biden to Harris in the summer. So, you know, I think when the fact that Pelosi was key to that decision, the fact that Pelosi is lining up behind Wickler there as yeah. well, you know, she is kind of the kingmaker still in the Democratic Party.
I do want to at least mention that I think Kamala and Walz did a great job. I think they were very progressive. They did really appeal to youth. Mm-hmm. But in the end, near the end at least, they started leveling off and starting to act more, you know, standard Democratic, you know, rhetoric. And that, I think, turned a lot of people off at that point. Do we have enough time?
Yeah, we got about a minute.
Okay. You know, I wondered, is there any reason why the Supreme Court is taking so much time on the abortion issue? Because we really have to kind of squeak that under the line here before something happens and the court may swing to the conservatives again.
Well, I think that's going to be part of the campaign for the next 60 days. I think reproductive rights and abortion rights are going to be front and center in this campaign. And you're right, the liberal majority in the Wisconsin Supreme Court, the gears of justice move pretty slowly. And I think there was a report that we did at the Recombobulation Era last mm-hmm. year that showed that the pace of cases being heard was much slower in the past 2 years than it had been in a number of other terms for the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Well,
so that's something to watch.
They
got to
pick it up. I mean, this is really an important issue in this state, and a majority of people in this state at least appreciate having choice in this state. That's what it's all about. All right. Well, we run out of time.
Yeah, we're going to take a little break here. Dan is going to stay with us. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. And we are John Peterson, Gordy Young in our studios here in Madison, Wisconsin at the headquarters of Civic Media. We will be back with more from Dan Schaefer in just a minute.
A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Hey, it's me time at Chula Vista. Time for you to pamper yourself. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, 18 holes of classic golf, a relaxing spa, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park. Zip lining through canyon views in Chula's Aerial Adventure Park. And dining comes any way you like it. From pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Miles and miles of freshly groomed cross-country and hiking trails. Ski, sled, snowshoe. Warm up at our indoor water park. ChulaVistaResort.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th President of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, "We're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one." My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to Maggie Dawn. We're John and Gordy filling in for the Maggie Dawn show, and she'll be back again tomorrow.
That's right. You can give us a call right now. We're talking to Dan Schaefer, our political editor. Call us at 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. And we want to get into
an editorial piece, an opinion piece that Tammy Baldwin has come out with.
Yes.
You read the article. Tell us all about it.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously the Senate is playing a key role in many of Donald Trump's cabinet appointments here. And, you know, we've seen some close votes. We've seen some not so close votes for many of these with in some cases, Democrats siding with Republicans to confirm Trump's appointees. And I think one of the most controversial ones really is that of RFK Jr. And Tammy Baldwin, you know, she actually introduced Sean Duffy and voted for him as transportation secretary. But RFK, she has been one of the more vocal opponents of his nomination. And today in Newsweek, she wrote an opinion column, opposing him. The headline is RFK Jr. is bad for our health. Again, that was at Newsweek, published today. But she talked about not only about the things that she is concerned about with RFK and his, you know, conspiratorial comments on so many different things, vaccines, of course, among them. But she also talked about her own background and her own personal story. And when she was 9 years old, she was diagnosed with a serious illness similar to spinal meningitis and spent several months in a hospital bed. And I think, you know, that is something that she has cited throughout her career as something that has, you know, really influenced her politics.
Sure.
You know, she has been very active in healthcare. She wrote the provision in the Affordable Care Act allowing children to stay on their parents' insurance until their age of 26. She was active in the fight to cover pre-existing conditions because of this experience she had as a child. She, you know, had a pre-existing condition into adulthood. And so I think it is really interesting to see, you know, she questioned RFK in the Senate hearing today, you know, had some pretty poignant moments there. And so I think it is really interesting to see where she is, where you know, Wisconsin's only senator, as I sometimes like to joke about Tammy Baldwin, because Ron Johnson really doesn't do all that much for the state. But that that Tammy Baldwin is, you know, really stepping forward and taking a vocal role. And she's not always the most vocal senator on a lot of things. I think she kind of oftentimes, you know, can operate in the background of things and really is kind of like a nuts and bolts operator trying to get things done in the Senate. But I think it is really interesting to see that she has been really vocal about RFK, making speeches in the Capitol yesterday before, and then, you know, questioning him today, putting out this op-ed, and she, you know, has really been forceful in her opposition to RFK, which I think is pretty interesting.
Yeah, does she ask any questions about whether people deserve to have health care, whether it's a privilege or a right? Anything about that?
Yeah, I think I wasn't able to watch the full hearing. You know, there was a standout moment where she talked about, and I'm going to probably mispronounce this, Mifepristone.
Yes.
And, you know, just talking about like the studies on this that RFK has been questioning. So there was a standout moment from that that C-SPAN put out on their social media channels. But, you know, I think that is one of the interesting components of RFK talking about, like, yeah, make America healthy again, blah, 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 whatever. But none of that is actually translating into efforts to expand access to health care in any way. It's just, you know, just kind of what Republicans used to call just kind of the nanny state.
When
Michelle Obama was talking about, you know, we should eat more vegetables in schools and things like that. And conservatives had like a 5-year freak out about it. And now we're seeing, you know, many of the same types of things be put forward. And but again, it's just like she's, you know, RFK is not talking about, you know, universal access to healthcare or anything like that. It's just kind of this woo-woo liberal type of approach to things,
right?
Which he's been talking about.
Well, he was big on women's rights, you know, and he was questioned about that and changed his mind. He is not so sure that women have these rights anymore. Mifepristone was one of those issues that he talked about. And I can't remember when that drug was introduced. I believe it was in Europe first, and it came over here. I mean, it has certainly tested well through time, and now they're calling for more investigations into it, more research into the drug.
It's been around for like 20
years. In this country. And prior to that, it was certainly used in Europe. So it's certainly tested itself. So now they're asking for more.
Baldwin cited a study that, you know, saying that it was, you know, 99.whatever% effective.
Yeah.
And, you know, RFK was saying like he was waiting to hear back on the science. And she was just saying, this is what the science is.
That's crazy.
You know?
It's crazy. And every time, you know, Republicans question Democrats, it's always that everything that we do or want to do has to be perfect. Everything they do falls apart, but it's okay because we're just starting. You know, we're going to make adjustments to it. The ACA was designed that way. You know, we put it out there. We knew we had to make some adjustments because we'd find some things that didn't work. And we wanted to make those changes, but the Republicans wanted to repeal the ACA instead of making the changes that make that program work even smoother and better for people. So, yeah.
And all these years later, Republicans still don't have any kind of a
plan
for healthcare.
No plan.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see if that comes down to a vote this afternoon, perhaps. Yeah. This is his second day of questioning for RFK Jr. Dan Schaefer, political editor for Civic Media. Thank you for joining us, Dan. Appreciate
Thanks
it.
So much for having
all
me.
All right. It's good talking to you.
And coming up after the news, a little bit later on, in about a half hour, we'll be talking with Nick Ramos from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, talking about Black History Month and what's going to happen with that. Is it going away?
Well,
it could. That's the question. And Nick Ramos will join us. You can join us as well. Call us, 855-75-CIVIC. 855-752-4842. John and Gordy in for Maggie Dawn.
We're
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on this show, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, my fill-in guest host, and we're going to talk about turning off the Enbridge oil pipeline in Wisconsin. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11. Matinair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6th rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matinair on air, weekdays at 11 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. Crews continue the grim task of recovering bodies from the Potomac River following last night's mid-air collision at Reagan National between a regional jet and an Army military helicopter. The National Transportation Safety Board just beginning the first full day of its investigation. NTSB Chair Jennifer Homendy.
We have not recovered the flight data recorders yet. We know they're there. They are underwater. This is not unusual for the NTSB.
Homendy also says it's too soon to know what caused the collision.
We are going to conduct a thorough investigation of this entire tragedy, looking at the facts.
All 64 died on the plane, including two U.S. figure skaters, their parents, and two Russian coaches returning from a skating training camp in Kansas. Three Army soldiers died on board the helicopter. The NTSB says many families are still being notified. This is ABC News.